Okay. All right. So we'll get started. This is Mastermind 2023. Rules of the road. Share your successes. Please mute your line when you're not sharing. Ask for help, tips, advice. Contribute to the conversation and suggest topics for discussion. We would love to hear where you're having trouble, what your problems are, issues, and the happy things, things that are going really well. How did you get there? We'd love to have some back and forth and some sharing going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you log into your private portal? You're going to go to www. You have to make sure you use the www.homecaremarketingmastermind.com. Your username is your email address that we send the Mastermind notifications to. And your password is whatever we emailed to you. If you don't remember it, you can just do the forget your password feature. It's a really fast, I've done forget your password in other websites. And oh my gosh, you just go on this continuous loop. But this one is actually really, really easy. All right. So we're going to get started. Today's January 6th, 2023. We're going to talk about recruiting today. I know in this labor market, it can be a really, really big challenge. And there are just some little things, you know, that you can think about, do, tweak, change, that can make your recruiting efforts be a lot better. So today we're going to talk about what a recruiting audit is and why it is important, common issues and mistakes made with recruiting. I'm going to show you a recruiting process that works. We're going to start with the end in mind. So how many hires do you need each week? That's, you do that and then you kind of work it backwards and then break it down to find out where your issues are. So to begin, what a recruiting audit is and why it's important. So recruiting audit will help a business understand if their practices, processes are effective in hiring the right candidates and the right amount of candidates. It's really important that you hire, you know, high quality caregivers. Caregivers are going to show up. Your ads have a lot to do with that. If you can pull at their heartstrings in the ad headline and throughout the ad, you're going to attract more of the type of caregiver that's going to show up and be there and care about their clients. And then, of course, the number of candidates makes a big difference. You can't grow your business if you don't have enough caregivers. And so it's a balancing act between clients and caregivers all of the time. So one simple tweak in your process can change your outcomes in a very big way. Without an audit, you won't know what areas may need tweaking, and this can cripple your hiring results. Are any of you currently having trouble with recruiting? Any of those of you that are here now having any issues with recruiting? Maybe unmute, let us know, type something in the chat box, raise your hand. Ways to communicate.
You can use the chat. If you want to, or you can raise your hand and you can unmute yourself, whatever you want to do. I'll put a little note. This is the chat box. You're all muted. So if you want to talk, you have to unmute yourself.
Okay. I'll keep going, but feel free to raise your hand, put something in the chat. We want to do a lot of back and forth. We want this to be helpful for you. And if you're not having problems right now, this is still a really good and important thing to know. If you can set your recruiting process up in a good way from the get-go, you won't have as many struggles going forward. So common issues that can come up are that your ads aren't bringing in enough caregivers or the right kind of caregivers. So putting that headline in there that grabs at their heartstrings, having your pay range in the headline and doing a pay range, not as straight, you know, we pay $15 an hour. A range is really helpful. And not hitting them with all the rules and regulations right at the beginning of the ad. Many times, most of the time, they don't read the whole ad. Most people don't read cover to cover, top to bottom, the whole ad. They read the first part and maybe some things that stand out. So really what they should be, you want to pull at their heartstrings. You want to let them know the pay range and tell them why they want to work for you. Not, we need this, we need that. If you don't have this, you can't be. Like, none of that. It should all be, we pay weekly, you know, we have vacation time, we have sick pay, all, you know, we do free training, whatever those benefits are, those should be front and at the front of that ad, because you're trying to get them to read what they will read. And you want to get their attention and keep their focus. And if it's all like, you got to do your application first, or you have to have a fingerprint card first, right? I mean, those things are important, but those things can be handled after they're in front of you, or you have some communication with them. You want to be able to, the idea of the ad is just to get them to respond, not to hire them. It's just to get them to respond. So that's what you have to think about when you're making your caregiver ads. What can I say just to get them to call me, text me, come to me and apply? That is all the ad's purpose is. Sometimes you can't reach the applicants. I know, like, their voicemail is not set up. Their voicemail is full. They don't answer their phone. It can be really hard. Remember, many of them are already working, and this is part-time, or they're working for a couple of home care companies. So if they're with a client, they can't answer their phone. If they're at work, they can't answer their phone. So it can be very challenging to reach applicants. You can't get applicants scheduled for interviews. That can really be a challenge too. You're reaching out to them and they're just not getting scheduled. Applicants aren't showing up for their interviews. That can be super frustrating. You might have 10 people scheduled for interviews today and none of them show up. Why aren't they showing up? So we'll talk about that. Applicants aren't showing up for orientation. That's also very frustrating, or training, whatever, you know, you're calling that there in your office. Very frustrating. And then this is, I think, one of the most painful things. You've done everything. You've interviewed them. You've done training. You're set. They're hired. They're caregivers. And now they're ghosting you after orientation. You just never hear from them again. So we're going to talk about all these common issues. I think I see some chats there.
Right. Yes. Anna Gaines from Heart of the Carolinas says she's the nursing director. And yes, it has been very difficult with recruiting nurses. Mm-hmm. And then Helena, I'm going to say Blanco from Passion Home Health said, yes, recruiting LPN, CNAs, and direct support staff is really hard.
It's really hard. And it can really keep you from growing your business, because without your field staff, you can't grow. So this can be a bottleneck in your system. So, let's talk about this and see what can be done to help these problems. Some of the mistakes that can be made during the recruiting process are making applicants jump through hoops before coming to your office, mm-hmm. requiring a lot of paperwork or online forms to be completed before the interview or orientation, requiring applicants to come to your office more than one time. The time between initial contact to the interview is too long, and the time between interview and orientation is too long, and letting caregivers leave orientation without being assigned a client. Those are the top. I've been doing recruiting audits for clients, if they're in our recruiting program or they're interested in the recruiting program. I've been doing some audits, and these are the top, I would say, six things that they're having problems with. And so we jump into their process. We look at their caregiver ads. We talk about some of the things we're going to talk about today to get to the root and what's going on and what can we do to change this. And I can tell you it's helping. One office that I was working with went from they had two caregivers scheduled for interviews for a whole month, 2 months. That's all they could get. And then they went up to 10 scheduled for interviews after our recruiting audit. And I imagine it's going to just keep getting better, because once you nail this down, it just becomes so easy and just you don't even have to think about it anymore. Are there more questions, Valerie?
No, just me.
Oh, okay.
Stuff in saying, hey, tell us your experience.
Yeah. Tell us. Okay. So this is a recruiting process that works. And I know this is going to raise some questions, and that's fine. We need to talk back and forth. I want to make sure you understand how to implement this. And that's not to say this is the only way it can be done. I made this for the people in our recruiting program. That's not to say you can't do this outside of our recruiting program, but that's kind of what this is geared towards. And I'll explain pieces of that while we're going through it. But you can also do this without the recruiting program. So there's enough tools and information in here to help you. So the first step, this is a recruiting workflow. And so these are kind of the steps that have to take place. So you're going to place your ads. When we do recruiting in our recruiting program, we place ads in Facebook for our clients. But there's also other job sites that they want their ads placed, and we place those for them as well. We write the ads, we place the ads. So you, if you're not in the recruiting program, you're going to place your ads somewhere. And you need to think about those ads again in the headline. Grab at their heartstrings. Have a pay range in the headline. Don't hit them with all the rules and all that icky stuff at the top. Hit them with the benefits. Okay, the next thing they do, if they're in the recruiting program and somebody applies through Facebook or they apply through any of the job sites that we're managing for them, we then put them in the Career Center. Once they're put into the Career Center in our recruiting program, the system sends them a text asking them to fill a short information form out. Now, if you're not in the recruiting program, you're going to reach out to them some way. Maybe you're texting, maybe you're calling. I can tell you texting is a game changer, because their voicemail is not set up, because they can't answer their phone. Even if they're with their client, as much as we don't want them to, they might do a quick little text. You know, their client's in the bathroom or their client is taking a nap. They might take a few minutes to text where they can't really be on the phone. So I would highly recommend find a way to text them to get a hold of them throughout the whole process. So they get in, put into the Career Center, and then the Career Center with our recruiting program sends a text out asking them to fill out this short information form. And so those are the first two steps. The third step is the applicant completes the short form and schedules their interview. So when they're in our recruiting program, the short information form is name, phone number, email address, zip code, and like three qualifying questions. And they can be whatever you want. They can be, you know, have you had a felony? That might be a deal breaker for you. They've had a felony. So if they say, yes, I've had a felony, they just disappear. We don't see them. We don't talk to them. We don't work with them because that's not somebody that we can hire. Maybe you just want to know if they have the COVID vaccine. It's not going to change your mind. It doesn't mean you're not going to hire them. You just want to know. So there's usually three qualifying questions, whatever you decide to do with them. And this is, you could text them these questions, probably whatever you decide to do that needs to be short. I can't stress that enough. They need to be able to do it on their cell phone. It needs to be quick and it needs to be short. So they fill out this form for us, the short questions I just explained. And then they, if they pass all of the questions, so if we had some deal breakers and they pass those, the system then sends them out a request, schedule your interview text. They also get an email. Okay, so we'd love to interview you. Please schedule your interview. So our clients have given us days and times that they're available to interview. And that is what is open for the caregiver to see and pick their day and time of interview. So they are scheduling themselves by themselves, all via text. It's really great because trying to get back at, well, can you do Tuesday at 1 o'clock? Can you do Wednesday at 3 o'clock? Like they look at it and they decide what time works best for them. And so that's how the system works. Something else that's great about the system, and those of you who are struggling, there should be some chasing going on in your office. Somebody has to be the chaser. If you are not, just because you said, hey, thanks for applying, I'd love to hire you, I'd love to schedule you for an interview, you send them a text, that doesn't mean they're going to respond to you, right? So somebody has to go back to them every single day if they have not responded and get back in there and try to get that communication going. When I was at my last company, we had a full-time person. We had to hire 10 caregivers a week. So we were very, very busy. All she did was chase all day long, chase. She's chasing for documents, chasing to get them to schedule, chasing them to do the things that needed to be done. So in our system, when they, if they haven't filled out that information form, we've asked them to fill it out. If they haven't filled it out, the system chases them. So it's beautiful. It saves so much time. Every day for 4 days, they get another text. Hey, remember you applied at ABC Home Care. We would love fill out this short information form so we can move you forward through the system. I don't know exactly what it says. We can have it say whatever you want it to say. And so it chases them for 4 days. And so most of the time in those 4 days, they're going to, okay, yeah, that's right. I was supposed to apply. That's right. So then they go through, they answer the questions. If they pass the deal breaker questions and it's time for them to schedule their interview and they don't because something happened, maybe they were at the grocery store, they were at a red light. I hate that people do this and then they have to drive. I don't know what they're doing, but they just get too busy to schedule the interview. The system is going to remind them, hey, remember us? We want to interview you. And we have some really fun graphics in the text as well. And it can say whatever you want it to say, but the point is the system's going to chase them for 4 days asking them to schedule their interview. So the chasing has to go down. You either let a system do it for you or you're doing it yourself. You cannot just give up. You can't say, okay, well, I texted all the applicants from yesterday. One and done is not going to work with caregivers or nurses or LPNs or CNA. It's not going to work. They are inundated with other companies wanting to hire them, and you've got to be fast. You've got to be first in the front and get their attention and keep them moving through this workflow. So that is there another question before I go on to the next?
Yes. Someone asked if we could talk about our recruiting program, but I would say let's save it till the very end if we have time. I don't want to sales pitch anybody, but we can go through what it is just briefly, give an overview. And basically what you see on these, this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kind of is our program. And all the things that we're talking about with regard to chasing people around is automated through our system. I'll just leave it at that. And you can keep on going. I'm happy to talk about it. We just don't want to take up the hour with
sales.
Yeah.
We want to help you too, especially if you can't do the recruiting program. So again, if you don't have a program that is doing the chasing, our system does the chasing, somebody in your office must chase. You have to for at least 4 days to get them to schedule their interview. So once that's happened, once you've scheduled the interview, I highly, highly suggest it is a phone interview. It's long maybe, because when I said, don't make them jump through hoops. Don't make them fill out a bunch of stuff. Other companies aren't making them do this. If you are the company that is making them fill out a whole application before they can even be interviewed, then they're going to go somewhere else. You have to make this as easy and just no labor intensive, just very, very easy for them. And I highly suggest you do a phone interview, because the other reason they're not coming and their people are getting bottlenecked is because they're requiring the person to come to the office more than once. So if you're having them come in person for an interview and they leave and they're supposed to come back or in person for the interview and they're supposed to come back for orientation, a lot of companies are no longer requiring that. They come into the office one time. And so then you say, well, how am I going to get what I need? I get this. I did this for 15 years. I understand. There's stuff you need to know before you want that person coming in for orientation. I get that. But think about this. You're on the phone interview. They're a captive audience. All of the things you need to know before you would put them in orientation, you can ask them during the phone interview. And you can start gathering that information from them while you're doing the phone interview. Maybe it's part of the application. I don't know what their hours, their availability, the kinds of things you want to know before they come to orientation. You can ask those things during the phone interview. Now, this phone interview is going to be 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. Also, during the phone interview, something really important you need to do is emotionally connect with them. Why do you want to be a caregiver? Or what brought you into this field? Whatever they tell you, latch onto that, share maybe a similar experience, or you're going to make such a great caregiver. It sounds like you really love your clients. You have to connect with them emotionally. They are emotional people, and you got to do that right in the beginning. That might be my very first question, would be, what brought you into this field? And everybody has their story. Business owners have their story. Why'd you buy this franchise and not a Subway? You have a story. All of you do. I've heard the stories. They're wonderful. So you have to have that emotional connection right there in the beginning of the interview. And I always end the interview with, as your employer, what can we do to make you feel special and make you feel supported by the office? You want to leave them with that. You want to leave them with, wow, and I've had caregivers say, no one's ever asked me that question before. You want them to know you're different. You're going to take care of them. You're going to support them. And then they're going to do what you need for them to do. And you know what the number one thing is? Communication. We tracked it. We did 10, 40 interviews a week. And when I would go into it would go into a smart sheet, all of the answers, it was communication. Talk to me. Don't send me to a client without telling me everything about the client. You're setting me up for failure. Communicate with me, anything. If my client husband died, and I'm used to them both being there, please tell me he died before I walk into the house and I'm just there with the wife and I have no idea what happened. They need to have communication. And I know you're running, you're putting out fires all day long. And we do forget, it's like, okay, he died. All right. Well, thank you for letting us know. I'm so sorry. You offer condolences, but do we call the caregiver? I think probably most of you do, but when you have 500-600 clients, it gets really hard to think about that. You're going to have to put somebody in charge of that kind of thing as you grow. So leave them with some, how can we support you? How can we make you feel special? I also always ask them why they left their last company. And that's important information for you to know. Do they have a bad attitude? Did something, go awry? And then in the questions for the interview, I always ask some of those life skill questions, because sometimes I feel like caregivers need life skill classes. It's just some of the things that they do. So I will say, we had a question, something like, you've gone to your client's home for a month now, and every day you go, they come to the door and they let you in. Today you go to the door and knock and nobody answers. What do you do? What do you do? Because I've had caregivers leave. They just leave. They don't tell the office. They just go home. That's not okay. So you want to see how do they think on their feet? What, and if that catches them off guard, that might be a signal too. Like, you know, no one's ever asked me something like that. And a lot of them who've been doing this a long time, well, I would call the office, you know, that right away they have an answer. So you want to ask some kinds of questions like that too, to get a feel for who are they really, you know, can they think on their feet, and just give them some scenarios and to ask them, to, you know, what do you think about that? What would you do in that situation? So I would not do a phone screening. I would do a phone interview. I would get any of the questions I need to have answers to done during the interview. And then I would invite them to orientation. Now, going back to step three, when you are talking to them on the phone or you're scheduling them for the interview, our system doesn't let them schedule too far out. So they get the text, please schedule your interview. The system's not going to let them schedule their interview a week out. They need to schedule tomorrow, the next day, maybe the next day. I don't know that I would stretch it more than 3 days unless there's a weekend in between, because they're not going to show up. That lead time has to be very small. That window needs to be very small. So keep that in mind. You know, it's very important that they get scheduled right away. Same thing for orientation. You've conducted this phone interview. You need to schedule them for orientation fairly soon. I know not all of you are doing orientation every single day. I know some people will throw orientation together because they need a lot of caregivers. Whatever your system is, you probably do want to have orientation like at least 3 days a week, so that these people that are coming out of the phone interviews are scheduled in the next couple of days. Super important. If their orientation is more than a week out, even more than 5 days out, there's a good chance they're not going to show up. So keep your windows tight, really, really tight. So during the phone interview, you're going to get the information you need to be able to invite them to orientation. Your recruiter is going to decide if you're going to move forward with this applicant or you're not going to move forward with this applicant. Is there another question, Dolly?
Yes, or a statement. Or Helena says, as a recommendation, I'm also in 60 Facebook groups posting daily. Holy cats. Most of the people only ask and then only a few reply. So meaning the people in the Facebook group, this must be for jobs. And she'll put something in there. They'll say I'm interested or express interest, but then only a few reply. Something that sometimes works is always respond to any Facebook post. I'm going to guess I'm filling in the blanks here. Something that sometimes works is always respond and then ask something, so that the potential candidate feels the need to respond. This makes them go on or give you more information. So if you're using Facebook and you're doing it manually and you're in Facebook groups, like, you know, local job seeker Facebook groups, probably. And if you're doing that, then make sure you go back. People will say, I'm interested, and then they'll just fall off the map. I've seen that a million times.
Yes, they need a call to action.
Yeah, they need to click on the ad, call our office, whatever it is. You have to put that front and center and respond to them as they're commenting, I'm interested. Okay, thank you. Please call our office now. Blah, 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 blah. You have to go back and check it out. So it's
a really good point. Mm-hmm. It's all about follow-up and chasing. Yes. Lots of follow-up and chasing. Okay, so you've done the phone interview. Let's say you want to move forward with this applicant. The applicant is now scheduled for orientation very close to after the phone interview. So what you can do, because I know many of you are doing background checks. I used to use backgroundchecks.com, and they give you like better pricing with volume. And I would get my background checks in like 2 hours. So we did not run the background check until the caregiver was in the office, because I didn't want to pay for it unless they showed up. Now, if they lived in 100 counties, you know, it's by county, right? If they've lived in hundreds of counties and little tiny community counties, sometimes someone has to go into that county and look at the records. So I understand there's going to be some concerns, issues about that. And some people just feel better not having them come to the office until the background check's done. So that's completely, totally up to you how you want to handle that. Backgroundchecks.com, though, did get most of them done within a couple of hours. So they show up for orientation, they fill out the background form, we run their backgrounds while they're in class, and usually they come right back. So that's up to you how you want to handle that. We also did drug testing. We did saliva drug testing. So when they come in for orientation, they're a captive audience. There's nowhere they can go. They're there. They can fill out the application then. Why not? You know what you need to know to get them there. Have them fill out the application. It was like a whole line of people. We put the drug test in their mouth. They're filling out their application. They're filling out the background release form. filling out all of that stuff. And then we would put them into class. If they've passed the drug test, the background check came back okay, then we would send them on into the orientation class. So they can get all of those things done there. Another, bottleneck is TVs. If you need TVs, there's a couple things you can do. We created, before we started doing TVs in our office, and if you have a nurse, and it's all different in different states, you would have to look into this. We were able to do TVs in our office because we had a nurse. The nurse was in charge of the charting and the log. It was her responsibility. She was in charge of where are the TVs, how are they stored, all of those things. And she signed off on all of those things. But an MA could administer the TV and read the TV. And we just hired office staff that happened to also be MAs, because then we had more people that could read TVs. So with the TV, what we would do, they would have to come to the office twice with the TV, but we offered it at a very discounted price or free. The other thing you can do is set up a contract. We have FastMed here. We set up a contract valley-wide, in Phoenix, it's called the Valley. Valley-wide, they had like 40 offices, and they gave our caregivers a discounted rate. And if we wanted to pay for the caregiver's TV for them and then pull it out of their paycheck, we only did that with a few of them. We really thought they were going to be good. FastMed would allow us to do that. But that was still $65. That's a lot of money for a caregiver. So we thought, well, let's do the TV in the office. And I think the TV per caregiver was like $14 for us. We did it for free because we paid for training. So when you're paying for training, as long as they owe you more money than you owe them at the end of training, you're good. Because if they don't show up or they disappear or something, and you owe them for training and they owe you $14 for TV, or they owe you money for CPR first aid, you can pull it out of that training paycheck. I hope that makes sense. So there's a lot of little things you can do here. But with the TV, there's a 48 to 72 hour time period of reading the TV. So they would come into the office to get the TV administered 2 days before orientation. But we make it very, very easy. We didn't make them fill out all the application and all of that then. Came in, got the TV prick, they left, they were gone. And then we would schedule their orientation on the day that the TV was to be read, so that they're still just coming in and getting everything done at one time. So that's how we handled TV. That's how we handled the background checks. I see there's some questions.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So James's office says we use LiveScan for background checks, and that's in California. Mm-hmm. So that might be another option. And then Norma asks, background checks, does this include police record check and references? And Norma, you're in Canada and we're talking about United States stuff. And I know Angelina is on here as well. I believe that when people come to your organization, they have to already have a background check completed, and it's called, there's a name for it, but I'm sure Angelina can explain to you how you guys do it. It's a little different than the way the rest of the people are explaining it. So just for Canada, I think they come with, I know that when we put your recruiting program together, one of the requirements when you walk in the door is that you have to have your Canadian background check done already or something. I can't remember what it's called. And then for reference checks, this is not include reference checks. If you need references, which I know some states in the United States require that, like you really literally have to have in New York, I think 2 to 3 references, professional references before they can hire you. It has to be documented. And we set up an automated reference request system for people who that is required. It's sometimes easier for you all to do that manually, but in states like New York, where it's high volume, it's required. We figured out a way to automatically send out reference requests to former employers with the caregiver is participating in that, but it's a short form they fill out. And then those former employers are texted or emailed until they fill out their reference form.
And you can get those references from them during the phone interview. That is when yes. You do it. They don't need to send it to you. You don't, fill it out, get it from them they're captive. I always like when they're a captive audience, man, because I know how hard it is to get a hold of them. I get everything I can. So when you're doing that phone interview, get the references then, And then you can start working on the references. This, the automated system is amazing and wonderful. And you get them back quite quickly. So that, yeah, references should be done, you know, before orientation. Sometimes we would do them while they were in orientation, you know, a couple, not all of them. Maybe there were a couple stragglers, but we would make sure they were completed before orientation was over. Another thing that might be important to talk about is we never tell the caregivers, or I never did, that they were hired. They had to complete orientation to be hired because we haven't laid eyes on them, right? We didn't do a face-to-face interview, and a lot can be said about that face-to-face. So we would tell them, you know, you will be hired upon completion of orientation. And that way, if they came to orientation, then they were just not good. Like, it was just not good. They came dressed wild. They acted terrible. Like, as soon as they walk in the door, sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, were you even the person on the phone when I interviewed? You just can't believe that that's them. You can send them home. No unemployment. No, none of that stuff's going to go on because they're not technically hired. So kind of keep that in mind too. So the applicant now attends orientation. When they attend, the background check's already been run. The drug test is run if you need it. The TB is either completed elsewhere and they're bringing it to you. Another thing about FestMed is they would send the results to us. We didn't have to count on the caregiver. And that was really, really nice. The caregiver got their results too, but FestMed would also fax them to us. And that was amazing because sometimes getting the caregiver to bring stuff with them, they forget stuff. So that was really nice. Or we read the TB in the office on that day. The next game changer here is you've got the hours they wanted to work. They told you during the phone interview, they told you their availability. They told you the days, the times they could work. When they come to orientation, confirm that with them. Don't ask them again, what days and times can you work? Say, this is what you told us. You could work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 9 to 5. Is that still the case? Because I'm going to, while you're in orientation, give your profile to my scheduling team. And they're going to start looking for a client for you. And many times the scheduling team already started looking and they're going to look. And so I need to know that this is your availability for sure. Hands down, this is it. Cause you don't want them changing it on you after we found them a client. So you get your scheduling team working on that, looking for a client for them. Most of them want 40 hours a week, Monday through Friday. You explain to them, we're going to have to stack your schedule. It's very rare to have one client for 40 hours a week. We're going to stack it where you're going to leave here with a client today. Maybe they don't get all their hours, but it is so important that they get something. They're going to feel like they wasted their day if they leave there without a client. And it happens so much with other home care companies. And they're just like, that was a complete waste of time. That's what they're almost expecting. So when they leave there and when you're on your interview, you can sell this. Once you get this down and it's working, put it in your ad, you will leave my training with a client. You will be assigned a client the day you're hired. You can put in your, when you're interviewing, when you come to orientation, you're going to have a client when you leave. Don't start saying that until you know you can do it, because there's a whole process. Everybody in the office has to get used to working together and making this. But once you've had it all ironed out and you've been successful at this several times, start advertising it. That will help them show up. It'll help them to show up if they know they're going to get a client when they leave the office. They're going to have a client before they leave. If they leave without a client, they just ghost you because they're so disappointed. You're trying to reach them. Hey, I have a client for you. Give me a call. Sometimes it works out. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it works out so much better to assign them a client before they leave orientation. So that is the successful recruiting process that has worked for me for years and years. If you have any other questions, put them in the chat. We're going to keep moving.
We have one more on the back to getting references. Mm-hmm. Do you get many responses back? We have a difficult time getting employers to respond. That's another chase that you have to do. I'm sure that every state and every location is different, but employers are really slow to respond as far as giving a reference because they're in the same pickle that you're in and they're trying to hire a bunch of people. So, I would say that the way we set it up is, and I still am getting these emails today. We did set up a demo account and we set this up and those emails come to me every single day for the same person over and over again until I answer them and I do what I'm supposed to do. So we can, if they have a cell phone number or an ability to text, we can text that request. It's probably going to require that somebody picks up the phone. And I would guess there's probably also services you can hire to do that for you, to chase former employers around. I know there has to be, because I've received calls as an employer from a service that is trying to confirm employment dates for somebody that left, that's applied there. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, it's a pain in the butt to get references.
And I think state to state, it might be different. In Arizona, we don't have a regulatory agency telling us what to do. But when we were contracted with Medicaid, Medicaid tells us what to do. So we, whatever the Medicaid standards were, we just did it across the board because we wanted all caregivers to be able to work Medicaid. And their requirement was that you have one employer reference and two other kinds of references. Could be friends, could be coworkers. So one professional and then two just character references. So I don't know what your state requirements are, but the character references are quite easy because you can text and, you know, and have them and they'll text you right back. And I used to say, so-and-so is in class today and they're getting this job depends on you responding to this reference in a very nice way. But basically, like, if you don't respond, your friend's not getting her job. I mean, that basically, that was the gist of the text. And boy, you get a response right away. But, you know, I don't know what the state laws are, if they all have to be professional references, but we had to have one professional and two characters. So, you know, it depends on what you're going for.
Yep. That's it. It's just me talking to other people now. We're good.
Okay.
Angelina says, how do you get the clients? Well, Angelina, that's a completely different story. That takes a while. So we focus on that most days, on how to get clients. But today it's more about the recruiting. So.
And Valerie Zandria is in the CRM. She's trying to get in. I don't know if she's got
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why she can't. She's approved. So.
All righty. I'm going to go on to the next slide. So we're going to start with the end in mind. This is the easiest way I've found to tackle this. So how many caregivers do you need to hire each week? Start there. It's the easiest, best way to start. So say you need 5 caregivers hired every week on average. That means that you need at least 10 scheduled for orientation that week. You need at least 20 scheduled for interviews that week, and you need at least 40 applicants that week. So I've broken it down for each section. So if you're starting with the 40 applicants, or if you aren't starting, if you can't get to 40 applicants, these are things you need to look at. You need to look at your ads. Are they written well with a headline that pulls at the heartstrings? Or do you maybe need to run more ads? Maybe you do. And I know people in the very beginning, you can do like client-specific ads. It works fairly well. But as you're growing, you're going to need some general ads and then maybe some client-specific ads. You need to have just general caregivers that can kind of work just about anything. Or, you know, you have your day caregivers, your night caregivers, your weekend caregivers. You do need to be running some general type ads in addition probably to the client-specific ads as you're growing. So if you're having trouble getting to 40 applicants, you need to look at this. If you have 40 applicants, but you're not getting 20 people scheduled from those applicants, something's going on in that part of your process. Are you paying enough? How do you know? Call around, call your competitors, *67, block your line, and pretend to be a caregiver and find out what they're paying. Maybe you're not paying enough. And if you're not paying enough, you might need to start doing private pay. You know, there might be that the Medicaid's not giving you enough margin to pay a little bit higher. So you might need to go get some private pay clients so that you can pay your caregivers better. Are you reaching the caregivers fast enough? I'm telling you, from the time that you have first contact with them, the interview's got to be soon. And then orientation's got to be soon. Texting will speed this up so much. It really is a game changer. I was a customer of ASN before I worked here. And for 2 years, I was stuck and we used the recruiting and retention programs. And that's when we implemented the texting. It was a game changer. The program, everything was a game changer. If you have 20 scheduled for interviews, but you don't get 10 out of those 20 scheduled for orientation, why? Something's wrong. So these are the things to think about. Are you hitting them with all the rules and requirements during the interview instead of the benefits of working for your company? That's not to say you can't talk about the rules and regulations, but you have to think about each thing. When you are running your ads, the goal for that ad is to get them to make contact with you or to apply. When you're interviewing them, the goal is to get them scheduled for orientation if you like them. That's the goal. And when they're in orientation, the goal is to get them to stay and be hired. And that's when you can do rules and regulations. They're in person. They've seen the office. They like what they're seeing. They're in love with the company. They like the person who's training them. A little rules and regulations at that point is much safer than hitting them with that in an ad or during an interview because they don't know you yet. So you need to hit them with the benefits of working for your company during the interviews. And during the interview, are you connecting with them emotionally? Super important right away in the beginning, and then leave them with a really nice, thoughtful something at the very end of the interview. If you have 20 scheduled for interviews, but you don't have 10 scheduled for orientation, oh, I already did that. Are you requiring too much documentation? It looks like I did that one twice.
It was a late night.
Yeah, it was. Are you requiring too much documentation? Oh, this is stating something else. So there's 20 scheduled for interviews, but you don't have 10 scheduled for orientation. Are you requiring too much documentation from them before they come to orientation? So I've seen people do like a phone interview and all of these things. And then they're like, okay, before you come to orientation, we need this, you know, we do need their driver's license. We need their social security. We need those things. Yes. But they don't need to do their application before then, right? They don't need to do that. You might send them a live background request form, like a live PDF for them to complete, but nothing laborious, nothing huge and long and forever. So that was the point of that one. Don't have them do a bunch of documentation before the end, between the interview and orientation. If you have 10 scheduled orientation, but you didn't get 5 hires out of that, are you scheduling orientation too far out so they didn't show up? Or are you not assigning them work before they leave orientation? Those are the things I would look at. So everything just doubles. You can see it's just doubling, right? You start from 5 and you're going to need 40 by the time you double all of these steps in the process. If there's a kink somewhere, I've tried to come up with as many kinks as I could. These are the reason the kinks are happening. You go in and tweak that and you're going to see a big change. One little tweak in your process can really make it could be a game changer. And for me, the biggest thing was texting and not making them, requiring them to fill out a bunch of paperwork before they came into the office. Those are two big ones.
Oh, I gotta add to this. When I see a client who, when we get a new client on or anybody comes to us and I look at their careers page and it's a full on application from Hireology or Access Care or whatever it is, I go, Clear Care. Because I just know that this is going to be a problem. I instantly know that if you're having somebody fill out a full application, it may be helpful for you, but it is not going to help your recruiting. If you're doing volume and you need people, you got to stop asking them to fill out a full application just to get in there. There's no way that's going
to
work.
You have to be thinking about the caregiver in mind. This isn't about what's easy for you.
Right.
You need them more than they need you. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. You need them more than they need you. So you have to do what is best and easiest for them. Then when you put them in front of you, you can get the things that you need from them. So try to kind of keep that in mind too. This is more about them than it is about the company. That's not to say, let's just hire everybody willy-nilly, no references. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a time and a place where it works best. And I was starting to tell people at my job, I don't know. I don't think we should make them fill out that application. It's just so much. And everyone at work, like, you crazy. That's nuts. Like, you know, and then I went to Valerie and I was like, this is our process. And she said, oh, don't have them do the application yet. No. And I was like, see, I told you guys. It gave me that, just that little bit of validation I needed to, that is the problem. So keep that in mind as you're doing your recruiting. All right. So we're going to move into the fun stuff. February is Heart Month. So I've got a handout for you. Now, this is our quick caregiver training guides. You can turn this into a handout for Heart Month. And so it's just the guide with the Heart Month celebration, your logo at the top. And these are the things that a caregiver needs to know before going to take care of somebody with heart disease, heart attack, or stroke. And it's just what should they be eating, foods they should avoid. It is written to the caregiver, and this is a great thing for your social workers, assisted living, independent living, all of your referral sources to see the lengths you're going through to be sure that your caregiver knows how to take care of somebody with a stroke, heart attack, heart disease. And so this is a great handout that you can do. We have 13 of these in the Mastermind portal. There's one about Alzheimer's. We could do that during Alzheimer's month. You could just take and put the Alzheimer's celebration up here. And then add your logo. And then there's a phone number at the bottom as well and change out the phone number. And this really helps them. They like to see the inside workings of your company. It helps to build trust as well. So this is one of the handouts we have for Heart Month. And then something else I've always kind of done is these little kid Valentine's things. I've given these out to social workers, independent living, assisted living, and it seems so corny, I know, but they love it. Here I've got from Amazon, you know, you get 40 suckers for $8.99. You get 48 of these for $8.99. You can attach this to it. Roses are red, violets are blue. We have a home care solution for you. Put your phone number, name, everything here. This, you know, you can go in. This is the Google Docs. This is the Canva link. You can change this. You can hook this to the suckers. You can take this and hook it to something else. But this always went over really, really well. And you can do so many for so cheap. I would just bring a whole bucket into the facility and I would ask, hey, can I pass these around to PT and OT? And most of the time they would let me go through and hand them out to everybody. So this was a very inexpensive, fun way to bring in the month. Every month I try to do something fun with candy or some kind of thing like this. And then the rest of the month I have more like educational. They can still be fun too, but you can't be bringing them stuff out like suckers and coffee and candy every single time you go, but once a month for sure you can. So this was something that was really fun. So all of the links are in the slides that you're going to need. And on this one, oh, go ahead.
I think we should give away. We should do a giveaway for February. So how about we're going to do this, and I know it's early, it's like January 6th, but just so you guys know, we're going to try to do this stuff 3 months in advance. So you have a little more time to plan. It was recommended to us. We're doing it a month in advance. So just so you know, everything we talk about today is going to be about February. So here's the deal. Every month we give away a marketing kit to somebody in the group. Sometimes it's two people. It just depends. But you have to make a promise if you want to be on that list. And the promise is that you will take the information here that we have put on screen, and in some form or fashion, if we mail you this marketing kit, that you will hand them out and take some pictures of what you put together. Doesn't have to be super fancy. Just take some pictures of what you did and share them with us so that we have examples of great leave behinds and handout ideas for the month of February. And we want to share those pictures with everybody and share them on social media so, you know, other people can learn from what you were able to do. So right now, if you're on your phone or if you're in front of your desktop, if you are willing to do in-person marketing, you're going to go out into your community and you're going to hand out the suckers and the stuff that we put on the screen here. I will send you this entire kit so that you have, and probably will double, we'll probably double what's there. So you'll have plenty to share with plenty of referral sources. If you're willing to do that, then just put a yes in the chat. Yes, 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 yes in the chat. And we will send those to your office. And you should have them in plenty of time to put together for February marketing. And you can use them all month. And so what's going to happen is you guys are going to, everybody who says yes, we're going to put your name in a hat and I'll have one of my kids draw a name and we will let you know if you're the chosen one. Cool. Lots of people saying yes. Thank you. Okay.
Awesome. And so you can go into Google Docs and you can change out the logo and the call and text Valerie. If you want to change out colors or this little poem here, you go into the Canva link to do that. And I just wanted to very quickly show you, because I went to see what this looks like. You got to click this little pencil down here to edit image. And then you're able to go in and edit the image. And so you can change the wording here. You can change the coloring of the wording here. So I just wanted to kind of show that because I opened, I'm like, well, what do you do? I don't understand. So you want to hit that little pencil. So Canva, they have free subscriptions, right, Valerie?
I believe they do, but I would say this, if you all haven't started using Canva, you need to look into it.
It is amazing, amazing. So that's what the Canva link, that's where it will take you. So when you get the slides, you have that, and then the Google Doc link is going to take you right into the document. And here you can change out Valerie's name and your phone number, and you can move the logo. And there are 6 to a page. So I just wanted to kind of share that so that everybody, I don't know if everybody knows how to do that kind of stuff. So I wanted to make sure they did. And I think Valerie, you're up.
Okay. So yeah, you, if, and on that, if you only need to, just to clarify, if you only need to change out the name, the phone number, and the logo, we're going to send it to you in a Google Doc so you can, or there'll be a link to a Google Doc so you can just change that stuff if you don't need to change the wording otherwise. And you don't need Canva for that. But if you do need to, if you want to change all the things, then you might need Canva for that. But it is really, really a nice program to have. The other one that I've used in the past is PicMonkey. And that's a really good one too. But I think Canva has either a low cost or a free version. The free version, I don't think gets you very far, but it will let you edit images and do things like that. So we do not send this as part of your marketing package. You have to do those yourself. And then once you have them arranged, there's six on a page on that Google document, you can just send them off to Staples or Office Depot or whatever. You can just do an online print order and they will print them out for you on cardstock, and then you can cut them out and then attach them to your little heart candy sucker things or whatever. So anyway, it's up to you to be creative with all of it. But we've had so many great examples in the past. So I encourage you.
At my office, we finally got a copier that would do a little bit paper, not cardstock paper, but a little bit thicker. And we actually, we put the money, the owner put the money in because we were going all the time to Office Max and all those places. So we did put some money in so that we could put a little bit thicker paper through the copier. And then we could run this through the copier. We just did them in our office. So that's another option too.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I'm ready. All right, February handouts and marketing. So let's talk about online marketing and offline marketing a little bit here. So we have some different things you can celebrate with your referral sources. Of course, February is American Heart Month, National African American History Month, National Black History Month, obviously that's the same thing, but people call it different things. Valentine's Day is February 14th. Women's Heart Week is the 1st through the 7th of February or somewhere around there. Random Acts of Kindness Week is February 12th through the 18th. And Random Acts of Kindness Day, I believe, is February 17th. Now, here's the interesting thing. Random Acts of Kindness is an organization. Like, you can go, if you do a Google search for Random Acts of Kindness Day or Week, I believe they're showing last year's dates. It doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. So it might not be exactly February 17th. Nobody has updated their websites yet. It's January 6th, and I'm looking at stuff for February, and they're not updated with the correct dates. And American Heart Month is updated, but there's some other site I went to today that was not updated. It's all last year's stuff. Anyway, I put together some social media stuff for you. And for the Heart Month piece, we also have a few handouts that she has the handout for the caregiver training, which is perfect. I think what the Heart Association offers are some blog posts that talk about heart health and some social media posts. So for American Heart Month, these are five different posts that are, and I put the link there, and I'll make sure you guys have the link to this. They're different social media posts that you can do. You can use your own Facebook or whatever to schedule these to go out once a week, however you want to do it. But they are there, and they even give you the text right next to it. I know that's small, but they give you the text to add to it and the hashtags and everything. So these are really great to use for your social media. You can keep going. And then Black History Month, I'm going to put these in the system for you guys to download. I took off anything that referred to a website or a logo. I took all that off. They're yours to use. I'll put them on a Google Doc sheet. So all you have to do then is add your logo, your phone number, or whatever you want to do. Or you can just use them as they are right there for social media posts. So it's totally up to you how you want to use them, but they are available to you. We can go Random Acts of Kindness Day and Week. These are some social media posts, but you can, and I took off again all the identifying information. These are all from Canva, so they are yours to use. There is no copyright problem or issue with any of these. They're all in Canva. You can see there's some space on most of them. You can add your logo, add whatever. And if you are going to do something that's like a random act of kindness, And I don't know what that looks like to you, but it might be, you know, not just, maybe it's not candy, maybe it's not Valentine's, maybe it's something else that you want to drop off. I don't know, pens or a notepad or something. I don't know. I don't know what it would be. I haven't had time to think about it, to be honest with you. But you've got a month to think about what kind of random act of kindness you would like to do for somebody that's cost effective and not really expensive. I mean, what can you think of that might be a really nice thing to leave for somebody or do for somebody? You could create, make sure these are created as something you could print out and attach to whatever that amazing thing is that you want to drop off. And I use Oriental Trading all the time. So orientaltrading.com. If you type in random acts of kindness, you'll probably come up with some things like chocolates wrapped in you know, foil that say thank you on them. You could do a little jar of thank you chocolates or something like that. You know, just thank you for serving seniors. Thank you for being who you are, whatever you want to say. So anyway, lots of things to share with you. You can modify these and make them your own.
Something that one of the hospice reps that I used to market with did, and we went together, she had a therapy dog. Trained as a therapy dog. And she would, we went together and we went to the skilled nursing facilities and just brought the dog around. It wasn't random acts of kindness, but that would be a very random act of kindness.
Yeah.
You get into the skilled nursing facility and you get to walk the dog all around and meet all of the patients and CPT and OT and social workers and like everybody. We brought donuts and we just made it like a whole big thing, you know, and you know, you would want the dog to be a therapy dog. Like it's not going to jump up on people or bark at people or do any crazy, whatever. They loved it. They absolutely, I mean, you have to get permission and plan it ahead of time, but that would be something. They love the dogs. I mean, they just went crazy over them. So that's an idea maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely plan in advance.
Show and get permission. You can't just walk in with a dog.
But there's so many things you can do. Just, you know, you can even Google random acts of kindness. Now I know that the organization, they call it RAK. If you Google, random acts of kindness on their website, they call it RAK Day. And when you go to their website, you can see all kinds of stuff that they've offered over the years, social media posts and ideas and things like that. So I'm not giving you a whole lot of help on ideas, but they do have like a ton of ideas out there. Okay, I'm good with that. Ooh, upcoming mastermind. Next mastermind is not next week. It's Friday, January 20th. We're going to every other week, but we have a lot to share with you. And I would say this, if you have not gone back, I mean, we have an entire year worth of videos, handouts, you name it. It's all in there. It's all in the private portal. If you haven't gone back and watched those videos, this every other Friday, you should go in and watch those videos from last year. and download all the downloadable stuff. So we're revamping the inside of this. I wish it didn't look like that. Anyway, so I have reorganized a few things. So we have welcome, start here. So you have that, those first two posts. This is inside the portal. If you can scroll down a little bit, we'll just show them basically what's in here. Mastermind recordings 2023. So this will be the first recording that's going to go in there. And so we'll start filling up 2023. If you keep going, generic downloads, scroll back up just a little bit. No, the other way. Yeah. Generic downloads, handouts, flyers, non-holiday stuff. So every single, there are 40 of these, every single flyer handout that has nothing to do. And I will add the little pretty pictures. I just haven't done it yet. But everything that's available in there that Dawn talked about or handed out or gave you in 2022, of course, these are evergreen, right? They'll be good anytime. It's all there. So there are well over 40 of these. You can keep going.
And the discharge package, what happens after discharge, specializing in 24-hour home care, those three will get you some big jobs at the SNFs. Throw that out there. And these, they're not there. Go ahead. Sorry.
Emails. There's a couple of email templates in there that you can download. And then operations and marketing. Dawn talked about KPIs, planning ahead for the year, and your weekly marketing plan. I know that some people like to have that in writing or on a piece of paper. I wonder if I have my little books with me. We are in the process So, of course. So we're in the process of creating a little notebook that you can carry with you for your weekly marketing. If you don't want to do it on the phone, they're super cute and we'll give some of those away, but we'll talk about it next week. Caregiver quick training guides, all of the caregiver quick training guides that in the one that Dawn just talked about and the 13 others are under that. And then intake forms, phone call intake form, client profile form, client intake assessment form. If you haven't seen the versions that Dawn talked about, you definitely want to download these. And of course, there are corresponding videos for every single one of these, but they're down below a little bit. So we'll get to those. Marketing materials, ideas by month. So when Dawn came on board with us, we started doing the marketing materials by month. Before that, I had pretty much just done social media stuff. So we start with June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. Any kind of marketing you want to do, all of those seasonal type marketing stuff is there. Now we're going to right now fill in January, February, March, April, May, as we go here. So eventually there'll be 12 months, all 12 months of marketing material. So anytime you're looking for an idea, it will all be in this section. Keep scrolling down. And then here are all the mastermind recordings for 2022. Everything we talked about, January, February, we had some guest speakers. You can keep going. March, we had some guest speakers, Kevin Linhart, Clint Nobles, Nick B, because I can't say his name, Bonitabitus. I did some SEO stuff. Adam Corcoran talked to us. Paul Papa George, who does exit planning, talked to us. Those are all great videos to watch. And then in May of 2022, we start talking about marketing to referral sources, group presentations. And then June was Dawn's first meeting with us. So, yeah. So these are all of the masterminds from 2022. There are so many things. And I try to put the description in each one. And if you look at July 15th, where it says breaking into the SNF, that's where Dawn started really giving you the like entire pattern of how you get into facilities. And every week, and the videos there, the handouts are there. So I would recommend scrolling through all of these and just kind of picking up the things and the pieces that you want out of here. And you have plenty of time every other Friday to get that done.
And then I would say for private pay, this breaking into the snippet, I would start mm-hmm. there. Anybody who is interested in getting that private pay business. And then those handouts up above that we talked about. And then Valerie, where did we talk about? What was the other one I was thinking about? Oh, the five impressions. Were they December?
They are here. Yeah, they're a little bit further down in there. The five impressions. They're up a little higher than that.
Here they are.
Yeah.
Finish five it. Impressions on how to break in also. Just as how do I get a referral? Five impressions you need to make to get the referral. And it was two sessions. So I would start there and then I would go into those SNF probably. But they're all really good. The whole year last year was amazing. So
yeah. So if you have a new person that has come on board, if you have, or if you yourself didn't come on till later in the year or if whatever, you got to log in and scroll through and get a sense for what's there and start watching or listening to the videos at night while you're doing the dishes or whatever you do. You know, you can listen to all of them. All of the audio without the handouts, without the stuff is available on our podcast link, and I will make sure all of you have that. So if you're a listener, a good listener, you know, you can log in later and download the handouts and you want to just listen to our sessions, then you can just go to the podcast link and listen to whatever you want. They're all organized by date.
That's a good idea while you're on a walk or at the gym or
yeah.
In the car. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I listen to Joe Rogan while I clean and while I do dishes and things like that. So I highly recommend, that's a great way to spend a little time while you're, so you can multitask a little bit and half pay attention anyway. So coming up for this year, we're going to leave everything in here. All of you have access to all of this. It's a gold mine of stuff. We had talked about having a sales training program specific to, you know, home care available, and that is in progress. So mm-hmm. we will have that. It's going to have some special nuances to it. It will be some of this training, and it will have some different things in it that you haven't seen before. But we'll talk about that when it's ready to roll. And otherwise, I hope you guys take some time to look through all this stuff. Yep. That's it for me. Anybody have any questions, any comments? I have all of your yeses. Remember, you are promising to do in-person marketing when you say yes. So I want those pictures. I'm going to bug you to give me the pictures if you're a winner. All right. Thanks, everybody. If there's nothing else, we'll take it. We'll go. We'll see you next. We'll see you 2 weeks from now.
Yep. Happy Friday.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, everybody. Bye.